Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
I almost clicked the video call by accident. That would have been real bad.
Oh man, I'm not camera ready.
You also don't have the right microphone selected.
Ah, fuck. But I plugged it in.
Oh, maybe it's just Skype then.
No, it's set to external microphone. piece of shit. All right, hold on.
I started the broadcast.
ATR USB microphone.
There you go. See, this is what I say. I always gotta round up. Take those 2 extra minutes.
The really nice part, though, is now that I've done that, there's going to be an enormous thumbnail of
in the audio clip. Your thing is gonna be split into different segments. There's gonna be a clip of you.
Yep.
It's good.
How are you?
You're wearing a shirt.
I am wearing a shirt. I didn't have time to disrobe for you. Sorry.
All the romance is gone. It's been so long.
Well, the real question is, where have all the cowboys gone? And I'm not a cowboy, so I can't weigh out on that.
It's the, I don't know, the flyover states where they can afford lots of land? I don't know.
Well, I think it's more like the government pays them to not have cows because they want to control the price of beef.
I like
Unless
beef.
I'm misunderstanding modern cows. Cowboys.
I'm pretty sure modern cows are still made out of beef.
Mm-hmm.
Relatively certain.
Well, there's the chance that you could get some sort of hemo substitute from a soybean root and then turn that into some pink mush that looks like a hamburger patty.
Mm. Mm-hmm. No, I'm still cooking my bulk tri-tip from Costco. It's very good.
Okay.
I bought a bunch of tri-tip, and I froze most of it, and I'm defrosting and doing it in my sous vide like one a week.
Wow.
It's good. I did like a soy garlic marinade on the last one. It was very tasty.
That's nice. I treated myself a couple weeks ago to there's a grocery store chain out here called Gelson's. I don't know if you're familiar.
No.
Well, they're a little fancy pants, but in a different way from Whole Foods. They're just like, how do I say this? Old rich people instead of like slightly younger hip rich people. So they have like prime cuts and stuff that you can't get at regular grocery stores. So they have the trimmings from the filet mignon, the weird like end where it tapers off that doesn't cook evenly that you don't want for an actual steak.
Yeah.
So I treated myself to like whatever that was, 0.5 pounds or 6 ounces or whatever of the filet mignon, like, I don't know, tip or whatever the hell that's called. And then I cooked that. And indeed, of course, it does sure cook unevenly, but it was delicious for most of it. And then the other part was a little well done.
Mm. You should put it in a Ziploc bag in a bucket of water for 6 hours and then it'd be evenly cooked.
I'm not morally opposed to sous-viding things. I just don't have time for it in my life, so I don't.
Well, it's
sous-vide.
It's honestly pretty low maintenance comparatively.
Oh, no. It's not a maintenance problem. Like, it's just that you set it up at a time and then you come back to it at a time. My life is such that I can do one of those two things, but rarely both.
Well, it does have the advantage of not really overcooking. I mean, it can get a little, I don't know, it kind of like tears apart real easy. It loses a little bit of meat integrity if you cook it for, I don't know, twice as long as it needs to be. But you can really just like let it go to town. You can let it go for 8-10 hours and it'll still be fine.
Yeah, I don't think you're understanding though. Like if I randomly have to work late on a night,
mm-hmm.
Then it's just gonna sit there for 2 hours, and I will have eaten at work, and then I will have a sous vide piece of meat to
do
something with.
It'll be cooked, and a lot of these dinguses on Reddit, they say they cook them, and then they refreeze them, and they just warm them up when they want to eat them.
Ugh.
Yeah, I'm not into that thing, but you know, you just mm-hmm. fire up your little Wi-Fi app there and say like, extend my little cook time for 2 more hours when I get home from work.
I mean, that's not to say that I'm opposed to preparing foods and freezing them. Because we did that this past weekend where we made a crap ton of wontons, and then
they looked good, by the way.
Biscuits. The wontons were delicious. I have to say, I sat there and mushed all the stuff together in the food processor until it was a really gross looking paste, and then you scoop about like a teeny tiny little teaspoon of that into a little wrapper thing, and then you fold it wrong, and then your boyfriend comes over and he folds it correctly.
You make little meat tortellinis. And then change them.
Yeah. And so it was funny too, because when I had folded it incorrectly, imagine you fold it into a triangle, and then you fold the two ends until they kind of like barely cross a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a pointy part, which was the middle of the triangle, and then there's like the two parts coming in together, like a little hug.
like a little paper hat that you would make.
Yeah, so it didn't really look like a wonton necessarily. So I can understand why Jason would
redo them.
It
looked like an Etsy ring made out of a wonton wrapper.
Yeah, but he said, you know, just fold it like a tortellini. And I said, okay, you're saying that, but I haven't folded a tortellini before either, so it's not helping.
I don't think I've ever folded a tortellini either, and I'm doing my best to remember what they look like and how they would be folded, and I think I would probably do the same thing you just did.
Yeah, it's more difficult than you think. Even if you look at a photo of somebody doing it, still, it's just like the getting your hand to go through the motor functions to do that thing in action is weird. But we got a pretty good handle on it once I was just only in charge of filling empty wrappers, and then he was in charge of folding everything.
What was he doing beforehand? Just watching you make them?
Well, he was opposed to making them, period, because he had decided that it would be too much work. And I'm like, ah, pshaw, it's easy to do. Because he wasn't feeling well, and he wanted Hong Kong wonton noodle soup, which, for those who are not familiar, which includes myself, because what we get at like a Chinese food restaurant in America when you order wonton soup is just some wontons bobbing around in a mostly clear broth. Maybe some baby spinach or bok choy or some scallion floating around in there too. Maybe some strips of cooked chicken that's like almost eraser-like in its consistency. That is the wonton soup most people might be familiar with. But the way they do it Hong Kong style is that they're is a broth that has these skinny, like long, almost like ramen noodles in it. And then there's the wontons.
It looked like
in
fettuccine,
there
if I'm honest. It took a lot of effort for me not to comment back, why did you put fettuccine in your wonton mm-hmm. soup?
Well, Jason just happened to have they're not fettuccine. They're a different kind of Chinese noodle that is wide, but I swear to God,
it's fettuccine.
It looked and tasted, because they're also dry too, so they were a little al dente in the center, like a just basically it was really very close to Italian pasta instead of being like Chinese noodle. But he had been impressed when we were at a 99 Ranch Market in Torrance and had bought this pack, and so he's like, "No, we already have noodles, so don't buy any." But it was just like slightly not the right kind for this. Because it should have been the ones that are a little like skinnier and squarer, so anyway, you get the wontons floating in there and the noodles in there, and that is the wonton noodle soup, which is weird. And we went to this one place in San Gabriel Valley, which was the first time I ever had it, called Noodle Boy, and I did not like that experience. It was not a good. It was not my favorite restaurant. I like a lot of San Gabriel Valley establishments for getting your Chinese food fix, but that was not. There's no endorsement from me on that one. Jason loved it, but yeah, it was not up to my not up to snuff
did,
for me.
Did either of you get a T-shirt that says Noodle Boy?
No, I don't think they have merch, but maybe they do now. That was about a year ago.
Let's see if I Google Noodle Boy. Noodle Boy closed.
Oh.
Does this say, this is a permanently closed place.
What a shame.
Is there more than one Noodle Boy?
I don't think so. It was
8518 East Valley Boulevard, Rosemead, California.
I believe that is the one.
On Valley Boulevard? Yeah, that's one. Well,
yeah,
that's
right near some high-tension power lines.
You can tell, well, it looks like there's a canal running by there. But yeah, you can tell Jason the Noodle Boy is permanently closed.
Shucks. Well, at least now I have all these frozen wontons. But
they got a really nice laminated menu here, and I like the little logo of the bowl giving you the thumbs up, and is the noodles inside the bowl kind of look like a millennial haircut.
Okay. I can't see what you're looking at.
Oh, it's just the Noodle Boy logo. I mean, I can send it to you, but
yeah.
He has like a Macklemore haircut made out of noodles. He's giving you the thumbs up, saying, you know.
Oh, yeah. I remember this menu. Yeah.
See, this soup, this soup looks good. It looks like angel hair instead of...
Yeah, see, that's it should have been... We should have had the skinnier
rice noodles
like this. Well, they're not rice noodles. They're wheat, but they're just skinnier than the other kind that he had. Also, these are fresh noodles as opposed to dry noodles. Yeah. So they have a different texture anyways when you cook them.
They got that that like nuclear red dye number 5 dipping sauce, I assume, for egg rolls and things.
Well, it might be the chili oil.
It's in these little things in this to-go container as I'm scrolling through the photos here. Oh, that looks like a brain on a plate covered in soy sauce.
Oh, is it the fish balls?
It's probably some sort of meat concoction. It doesn't really say.
Okay. Well, anyway, long story short. I didn't love the place, and it's closed now, so I win.
Let's see how long ago it closed.
That's basically why we made this, because he wasn't feeling well. So I took it upon myself to make the wontons, and then I didn't actually execute that by myself. But it wasn't as difficult as Jason had thought once we got it going, because the filling's really easy, and that is just a matter of folding tiny little things over and over and over again. But
oh, look at this. Jonathan Gold reviews Noodle Boy, LA Weekly. Mm-hmm. When I'm feeling under the weather or tired or lazy, it doesn't occur to me really to make soup from scratch. I usually just like fire up the Postmates app and spend twice as much on a dinner as I would normally spend.
Well, I helped. So
I'm sure that made him feel better instantly.
Yeah. No, because when I'm sick, I also don't want to make soup from scratch. But there is a cap on the amount of Progresso that I want to have. Mm-hmm. So I will also seek out soups that are available from restaurants. Like there is a chain of restaurants out here called Panini Kebab Grill. It used to be called Panini Cafe. And they have a chicken soup that is not really like my mom's, but sort of has some of the qualities of it, because my mom's side of the family is Italian, so they put tomatoes in their chicken soup for I don't know how far back, how many generations that goes in the lineage, but for whatever reason, it's tomatoes go in the chicken soup.
I don't like that idea.
It's delicious. And then instead of the regular white people noodles, like the Americanized German noodle kind of things, what you actually get for that is ditalini, which are tiny, tiny little tubes. Does ditalini entertain you?
Yeah.
Or you get the anchi di pepe, which are the little tiny stars.
Mm. Oh yeah, my grandma used to make pastino soup a lot. There were a couple canonical family soups. She would make a holiday Italian wedding soup, which is basically a broth that tastes like nothing with tiny meatballs and seaweed in it. But it was tradition. It's fine.
That's seaweed.
But whatever. Green vegetables that clump up.
It's probably escarole or spinach.
It's probably spinach. I don't think she was an escarole lady. But the youthful soup that I remember was my dad's mom's soup, and they came from an even poorer part of Ohio, as if there were really differentiators. But his family soup, which I'm sure every family has had a version of this, is just, chicken broth, that giant bag of dried egg noodles and then carrots and celery. So it's sorry, Joan Cusack. It is a bit of a boring soup, but you know, it's bland and tasty. And it'll fill you up when you're freezing to death in Ohio.
But bland and tasty. What an achievement.
Did I say tasty? I probably meant to say tasteless.
Yes.
I enjoyed it though. I used to put as much salt as I could possibly get away with putting on that soup before mm-hmm. I would get yelled at by my parents. I'd basically get a scoop of the soup and then salt my spoon and then take a bite of it.
Ew.
I liked salt a lot as a small child. Not so much these days, but I mean, I still enjoy it, but not that to that degree.
Ew.
I like salt. What can I say?
No, you can say, no, I'm sorry, Joe.
No. Alexa, stop. I said I like salt, not the. Oh God!
Yeah,
I got another thing in my office here now.
Mm-hmm. I bought another one too.
You bought another? Another dot.
No. I have a. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but there is a thing called the Echo Show stand for your Fire tablets, where it turns.
I'm not.
It turns a Fire tablet into an Echo Show, sort of, kind of, asterisk.
Does my incredibly old one qualify for that?
No. It's only the last two generations of the HD8 or the HD10.
Look at this goofy little thing.
Yeah, and so there's like a thin, flimsy plastic case that you clip onto the back of the Fire tablet, and it has little charging contacts for where you sit it on the sort of like a picture frame easel cradle thing. And
you got a first gen or a second gen?
This one's the recent one, but I also have
Is it the one with the gigantic speaker grill on the front below it, or not so much?
Oh no, not the Echo Show. You're looking at the Echo Show.
Echo Show second generation. Oh, just adjustable stand. Oh, okay. We got namespace pollution.
Yes. It's surprisingly difficult to find for no good reason on their website. But that's the thing that they have, and it's interesting. It's just using the microphone that's on the tablet, which is incredibly weak. So my Echo Dot actually picks up my requests before the tablet picks it up, even if I'm standing 3 feet from the tablet, and the Echo Dot is like 20 feet away.
You know, the one thing that I love about the Amazon home automation products that Siri still does not have, unless you have a HomePod, as far as I'm aware, is that if it's playing some music, you can talk to it and tell it to do stuff. And I still don't understand how I can't do that. Like, the only way to control, like, if my phone, if I yell at it to play something and then I like wanted to turn the volume down or change something else, I have to like turn away or like walk further away from it and talk into my watch, because I can't talk to the device that I was just talking to, because it can't hear me over the music that's coming out of it, which is incredibly stupid. Drives me nuts.
Yeah, because we're using the auxiliary output at Jason's, and he put it on the same shelf as the speaker that goes to the auxiliary output, so you literally can't. You're just shouting at it to try to understand you, because it can only hear itself basically without knowing that it's itself, because it's an external input.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's exciting.
I like all of these devices. I kind of forgot that I had the Apple Music integration into the Puck doodad, but I had it play a playlist for me the other day, and it worked flawlessly. It was pretty great.
Mm, play a playlist.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of playlists. I'm not sure if you're familiar with playlists.
Yeah, you love playlists.
I like playlists. I like to make smart playlists. I have a workflow and a system. Am I the only person that uses smart playlists? Like, I think.
I used to use them before they sucked.
Why did they suck?
Well, you see, Dan, Apple acquired Beats and Beats Music, and then they gutted and rejiggered the entire Apple Music experience. And smart playlists and all that stuff, and Genius and everything,
the Genius
went away.
Mixes are terrible.
Well, I mean, I'm just pointing out that they're gone.
I think they're in the standalone iTunes application.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is they're not on the iOS app.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, they're not there.
Yeah. Because, like, you can still make a smart playlist in the iTunes desktop app, mm-hmm. too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that because the mobile experience is predominantly built around what Beats was doing, it's just missing all of that stuff.
I mean, I can listen to my smart playlist on my iOS device. I just can't modify. Well, I can modify them if they already exist because I have a system, but I can't make mm-hmm. new ones.
Yeah, it's really just poorly conceived. And it's one of those things where I believe at the time when the new version of the music app was released, a lot of people were like, they'll get around to these features, and then they never did.
Well, they brought back the one feature that made it useful for me, which is star ratings, because I need that. Because basically my smart playlists are like, I have, you know, 10 albums or whatever from a band, but I have my favorites of those songs, so I just give them any star rating, and my filter, my smart playlist is, if equals this band and rating does not equal zero, put it in this playlist, and that's how I roll. So I can modify that on the fly as I like or dislike songs in the future by changing the star rating in my Apple Music there, but that's the extent of it mostly.
Yeah, I mean, I have several smart playlists that are built around the same philosophy with stars. What I find funny is when they added stars back, there's a disclaimer that stars don't actually weight anything in terms of your recommendations.
It's not the same as hearting or loving a track or thumbs upping a thing.
Yeah. The heart and heart with a line through it for disliking something.
I don't use any of that crap because mostly that stuff shows up for what? Like when you're listening to the various radio stations and stuff.
Well, but it also shows up just for anything. If you go to the menu for any track you're listening to.
Your little ellipsis menu or whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't say. Oh, God. It lit up and then stopped.
Ellipsis. What is the weather tomorrow? I don't love this thing. And I went back on the Apple Music stuff after being very upset with them this last December because I was getting really fed up with not being able to select music via voice when I'm driving you can't do that. Even though if you have the Amazon Music app, it doesn't have a voice interface in the car. You can only play things that are already built inside of lists or resume playback of something. And because Apple and their divine wisdom likes to push audio playing applications out of memory and then pretend that they don't know how to resume any of those audio playback applications, it makes for a very frustrating experience sometimes when you get into the car and you plug it in and then you just get some random track in your Apple Music library. I paid for this thing and I have it now, and so I've been experimenting with trying to use it, and I have not had a tremendous amount of success. I don't understand why. I know there aren't as many people who are as enamored with it as people are with Spotify. People seem to have a more personal connection with Spotify because it seems to more intimately know you via data gathering.
Yeah, and I was very intrigued by all the people recommending Spotify, all of the recommendation engine stuff that they got going on there, that it helps discover new music more easily and it has, you know, more intelligent features and stuff. And I like that, but I just, same thing with the Amazon. Like, I can't get over not using a system native music app. It is just always going to have priority and it's always going to be better integrated into everything else that you're doing. And it's just going to be more of a hassle to try and use anything else. So I can't get on that train.
Yeah. But you know, now that, Apple Music is on your various Echo products, I'm going to discontinue the Amazon Music additional fee.
Mm. Oh, so you're going to go all in on Apple Music, huh?
Well, it just doesn't make any sense to pay for both of them. And to be honest,
you know, most of what we do on the dots when we say play some music or something, where it like shuffles the best. First of all, the Amazon Music is 1.5 million times better at just like grabbing a random shuffling of an artist's music and playing it. Whereas Apple Music, if you do the same thing, it'll just like start playing its highest rated Apple Music tracks, which are usually just completely asinine. It's just like, here's the most popular current track and then some B-sides from a recent album. It's like, no, just give me their greatest hits shuffled. And Amazon is much better at that. But I left Amazon as the primary music on the dots. And I just used the on Apple Music command or whatever to play something very specific, because that's just, you know, when you want to be specific, Apple Music is better there. But Amazon Music is still way better. Just like, play some music from this person and give me a nice randomization of it.
Yeah, it's still frustrating, because even with Apple Music on Echo devices, there's still no unified experience of using it. Every device still treats you like you're just approaching it for the first time ever. So if I, you know, say to do something when I'm in the car, I can't resume that when I walk in the door at home.
I'm currently struggling with how dumb Apple Music is in terms of, you know, things like being personal. Because I know there are ways, like when you add a pre-release album where there's a couple songs out or something, it'll be in your library. You can listen to like one or two songs, and then like you'll get a push notification saying like, hey, the rest of this album is available to download. Like, go get it and listen to it now. But like, it seems like there should be a whole hell of a lot more personal integration that goes like, hey, you have all these bands on your phone. Would you like notifications when all or a portion of these release new music? Like, we could just let you know when that happens. And, you know, I would like that kind of stuff. Just, you know, let me know when there's new stuff that you would think I would like, or even let me just opt directly into like getting notifications. I think this is the same reason I kind of hate the TV app, because it's like, do you want it to add it to Up Next or just search into oblivion every time you want to find something? It's like, there needs to be something between Up Next and just search.
Dan, I want to say that what you're asking for notifications for artists exists.
I feel like it probably does too, but it's not something that it presents me with frequently. It doesn't ask me about it. It doesn't do anything proactively. It's just kind of maybe there somewhere.
Yeah, well, I just feel like it was something I turned off push notifications for in the beta because I found it frustrating. But misremembering that.
Maybe it's there somewhere, but like you would think there would be just like a big subscribe button for either like when you're looking at an artist, or just like let me know when there's an artist that I already have on my phone when they release something new. Just, you know, send me a notification or something.
Oh, you know, I think that's part of what they had with Kynect is Kynect would send you notifications. Yeah, I don't know.
See,
anyway,
when I'm looking at, I went in alphabetically, so I'm looking at ABBA. I click on the little three dot menu for at the top there, and it says create station or share artist. Like, okay.
And I hate the dot menus. It's just like, we don't know what to do with any of these interface elements, so we put them in here.
But shouldn't there be a button right here that says like subscribe or whatever, let me know when there's new music? I mean, probably not from ABBA, but you know, like if suddenly the back catalog comes out and they're like, hey, there's new rarities that came out, like why do I have to find out about it through Twitter or something? Like, can't you just like, you know, I like this band, tell me more about the band. Anyway, Apple Music is very stupid.
Yeah, well,
their most impersonal product ever.
I had a really lovely experience when I went to look for a track. Barry Jenkins had recommended some music video was done by someone he seems to love the work of, and so he had quote tweeted it with the thing, and it was something by Chasms, and I'd never heard of them, so I searched in Apple Music for Chasms. And if you search in Apple Music for Chasms, you get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different results for something with Chasm in the name. And since you're doing an artist search, and they're apparently not important enough to warrant a special artist artwork thing, every single one of these is just a gray microphone thing in a circle. And so there's nothing you can do to figure this out. You have to click through each, it will tap through each one of these to figure out if it's the band that you might actually be looking for, because there's just a dearth of information. And then you get like top songs and albums and singles and EPs. And then you scroll all the way to the bottom and you get about and the genre it is and the artists. And it's like, what is going on? Like, I don't understand who organized this.
You know, the most efficient, sadly, way to get a song into your Apple Music library that you see somewhere, hear somewhere that you like, is to use the Shazam app and have that little checkbox ticked that says automatically add to my Apple Music library. So anything that I Shazam immediately gets added to my library and into a playlist called My Shazam Tracks.
Oh, no, I don't do that.
Oh, I love it so much, because I don't usually Shazam something that I don't like. I'm like, oh, God, what is this horrible song? No, it's usually something specific, and then I want to add it anyway, so it just does it.
Yeah, but if you just open Shazam, it shows you the history of everything that you've listen to.
Yeah, but so I use the Today widget. I hit the button, mm-hmm. It Shazams it. It goes, here's what you're listening to. And then I close the app knowing that it's in my music library.
Okay.
That's all I got to do.
Yeah. But then I don't like having things inside of a library and I don't know where they came from.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, that goes to the other thing. Like, the way I hear and like add music these days, like most of the time I'll like a song, hear it, download it, and listen to it 30 times before I even know what the band is or what the name of the song is. I'll just like it'll be the top thing in my little whatever you call this main screen in Apple Music, the library screen where it says recently added. It'll be like top little tier there. I use the screen all the time under recently added, and I'll listen to it there a bunch of times because it's at the top, or I can just like scroll down like a couple little notches and see like, okay, a couple days ago I added the Sicario soundtrack and it's right there, boom, and then I can just listen to it for a while and I'm like, oh yeah, what is the actual name of the song? Maybe I'll shuffle this into a playlist that I like.
This is so poorly organized. I hate this.
Well, then I'm just listening to it and then I go like, this is a decent song, 3 stars, and then it ends up in my 3+ stars smart playlist. And it's like, you know what? Don't have to worry about it ever again because all I do is listen to my smart playlist, the songs that I like.
Mm. But I also hate the For You tab.
It's very bad. The For You tab is completely useless to me because it's all music you either have or your friends are listening to. There are no like intelligent suggestions there.
Well, that's one of the weird things is they're like, this is a mix of things that is just for you, that we have decided that this works for you.
But most of it is like, you already listen to a lot of these things and we just put them in a playlist for you. Here you go.
Well, like I have a chill mix that...
No, go ahead.
That's what it says.
I know.
It says chill mix.
I know.
It says chill mix, and it's on an aqua background. But you open it up, and it has a lot of really strange selections that no one would put into a list. But for some reason, these are for me. So I've got "Can You Read My Mind" by Mark Northam, and then I can't see what it is without actually starting to play it. It seems to be from a movie, maybe. Mm. And then there's "The Emissary." There's a track from that, which is a Star Trek television series album, and then there's "Reunion of Friends" from ... because that's also cut off because God forbid you read any of this stuff. And
looking
then
at my chill mix now too. I've never actually looked at this. I the only song I recognize is "Deborah" by Beck, and the rest of this is I don't know what any of this is.
Yeah, but. Like, you just scroll through, and it's just like, I have no idea if I want to even play anything here. It is so strange, because there are artists that are not soundtracks, and there are soundtracks in here, and rarely do I want to interleave those things. But for whatever reason, that is my personalized list that's been updated Sunday. And then if you go to New Music Mix... something that I had commented to you about earlier is it's just a completely random assortment of new music.
Yeah.
there's no grouping by genre. There's no attempt to understand any sort of progression. Mm. You know, it's basically like if you went to a wine tasting and then your first glass was a very heavy red wine. Then you had an incredibly light white wine. And then you had a Berliner Weiss. Beer, and then you had
throw in a muscadine or something.
Yeah, and some moonshine after that. It's just like it makes no sense the way that these things are. There's no like build up or anything. I have no idea how they organize this stuff.
Yeah, the other thing that I find kind of frustrating is I recently made the jump to get on the family sharing thing because I wanted Amanda to get on Apple Music, but I wanted to take care of it or whatever. Plus, you get a discount. So it's like $15 for the two of us now. And it's just, I know she's not like super into like figuring out all of the minutiae about how this stupid application works. She just wants to like listen to music from time to time, but I want to make it as easy as possible. So I almost wish there was a way that we could have a playlist that is just like shared on both of ours. So like we can modify things and put stuff on it at the same time, or like I could build it and it'll just be on her phone, like in the same way that you can have a shared calendar. But also because like, since my Apple Music is hooked up to the Echo, it would be nice that I could like have a playlist on mine that's hers that she could modify on her phone that updates on my phone, and then she can just like play that playlist to the dot and it would just go. But I guess that's asking too much, because you know, sharing music is very complicated. I can generate an iCloud URL so that people can go download my playlist, but having a playlist that can be modified in multiple directions from people who are under the same household is probably asking a little bit too much.
Yeah, well, I don't understand. There are so many things where it's like Apple's idea of sharing is very one-directional, where you're just like, here's a thing that I have made and I can edit, and then you can all look at it if you have the URL. And it's like, but that's not an ideal way to share anything, because...
Has Apple ever used Google Docs? Like, I know they're not fans, but like, have you used Google Docs? Like, picture that, but for music or something. Like, think how cool that could be if you tried.
That would be so nice, because for the soundtrack draft that we did on our episode, and for the Incomparable soundtrack draft, I had put together playlists of everything that was available, and it was frustrating because I literally had to put together the playlist just by myself. I could take input that people would give me in terms of recommendations and listed items, but like I had to actually physically go like search and find the track and then enter it. There was no easy way for me to just like drag and drop stuff in.
Everyone put your tracks in the thing. Or can you imagine, even if it like everyone put their tracks in and then it like put their little avatar next to it, like when you're looking at your friends listen to this crap in the For You tab, like put their little avatar next to who had it, and then you would know. You wouldn't even have to like guess or something. It would be pretty great.
Yeah, because we actually ended up sharing a Google Sheet with the like eight hosts, and everybody just entered all their information. I still had to go search and find everything and put it together. But like, if I'd been able to share in the same manner, a playlist that they could actually just edit themselves, that would have been fine. Also, if I could hand off responsibility for the playlist, so I'm not in charge of it for the rest of my life,
but then,
that'd be great,
you know,
too.
Have whoever's adjusting it, like it's still on your phone when you're done, 'cause it's your project. But yeah, they can add stuff to it. How great would that be? You know, I know we're asking a lot, and this is Apple, and they probably only have like half a guy working on music, because music's not really an integral part of what Apple does.
No, they're just trying to grow the services department, but it's mainly through promotions that you get via push notifications.
Mm-hmm.
So the staffing is really tiny.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a cost saving measure. I'm still mystified by the For You section. I just you're gonna tell me in like the what has it been now, like 2.5-3 years that this thing has been around since the beta, that the best recommendations that they have is just like a random assortment of things that are like nearly based on something else that I might have listened to some other time. Like you don't have anybody that like, for all the vaunted like hand curated blah blah blah, you don't have anybody that's working on that stuff.
You know, I get caught in like a loop of logic where I try to wonder how much of this stuff can't be remotely updated, because you know they do all of their machine learning on device stuff for photos, and they, you know, respecting your privacy, we're not downloading your stuff onto the server to analyze or whatever. But for stuff like music, like, you know, take my tracks. Like I don't give a crap. Let me opt in to like letting you analyze my music and have an algorithm / some nerd tell me what I should listen to. 'Cause I don't know. I like music recommendations. There's still something very, I kind of get it through some of like I appreciate that they did the like Hot 100 in the United States or the globe or different countries, where you can sort of see what songs are trending all over the place, where you can pick and choose that way. But there's still something very natural about discovering stuff like on the radio and then going like, oh, I like that song, and then shazamming it into my library. But just like having somebody That's why there are different radio stations. Like, you find some people who have taste that you like, and maybe you don't like all of it, but you like a majority of it, so you listen to that radio station. Like, that is still, there's like a huge gap and disconnect on Apple's side for just, they have all the music, they just don't know how to like help us find it.
Yeah, and we had mentioned the social aspect of this, of being able to see what your friends had listened to recently. My friend list has disappeared from the For You section. I have no idea where it is. So
it's not
top. I've got is Chill Mix and New Music Mix, and then I've got my Recently Played, and then Thursday's Playlists, and then
did they move it?
Albums and blah
browse?
Blah blah.
No, it's not in Browse. Yeah, where's my Friends Are Listening To? It's the second thing. But it doesn't
what
have...
do you mean the second thing?
From the top, it goes For You, Favorites Mix, Friends Mix, Chill Mix, and then right below that it says Friends Are Listening To, and then it's just albums. It doesn't have the avatars on it.
No, mine...
Oh, if you click on See All, then I can see... Oh, no, the avatars went away. They were there, and then they went away. Oh,
are you looking at iTunes on the desktop?
No, I'm looking at the For You tab. The second thing from the top for me says Friends Are Listening To.
Nope.
Does yours say Recently Played right after that?
Yep.
Wow, interesting. Maybe like but like usually it shows avatars on this cover art and it's not there. And then I hit see all and now there are no avatars there. And now I back out and hit see all again. Nope, the avatars didn't come back yet. What is happening here?
Yeah.
Wow. This would be a terrible onstage demo.
Oh my god, so bad. And then if you go to browse, what the F is the point of this? Because then you get like a different way to look at new music or playlists or music videos or top charts.
If I'm going to complain about something, I will complain about this, which drives me absolutely insane. Top charts. The top chart in Apple Music is not the same top chart as the top chart in iTunes. And I can understand why you may want to differentiate those two because they are technically different services, but the top chart in iTunes is actually like popular songs that everyone knows. The top charts in Apple Music is just music that is popular in Apple Music, which is usually like the first 10 songs are usually like from whatever hip-hop album came out that week, which is completely useless to me. So I want to be able to see the iTunes top chart in Apple Music so I can just tap a bunch of pluses, but I can't. I cannot see the top chart in Apple Music. I have to go to the iTunes app and look at it, go back to Apple Music, and then find that song and then add it manually. It is so friggin' stupid. They have the genres in the world, but they can't just show me the top chart for iTunes.
They should really synthesize that data between iTunes and Apple Music into one chart and weight it appropriately so that if there aren't as many people, let's say, on Apple Music all the time doing stuff as maybe are purchasing things, evidently, based on what you have relayed to me about your differences and your results that you're seeing on a weekly basis. But just put the things together. Just be like, yeah, so somebody listened to this on Apple Music and somebody bought this on iTunes, and then here's a list of things.
Is it even worth keeping them separate at this point? Like, what if people who didn't subscribe to Apple Music just opened the music app, and instead of pluses next to all the track, there was a price? Like, you could just buy it that way. And if you were subscribed to Apple Music, the price just turned into the plus symbol because it doesn't matter. Like, what's the problem there? Maybe it's because there are people who are subscribed to the streaming service that still want the ability to purchase stuff, because I am given to understand that those sorts of people still exist. But then, you know, put a button in there. Put a 3D press or whatever, and there's a buy button instead of just the plus button or something. But, like, I forget that the iTunes store is even there unless I'm like looking for a movie or a TV show. I haven't looked at the music tab in the iTunes store for a very long time. Stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid. Why can't these apps be smart? I mean, all we do all day long is read about how Facebook is mining literally all of the data off of all of our devices 24/7, so they know literally everything about us. And the people who sell us our services and our devices are just like, I don't know, here's a mix of some stuff you might like.
Well, it's pretty bad if you use Apple services for this stuff, because Apple, you know, because of privacy, but also because of a lack of concerted effort to unify any of this information once it's private and collected. Because of that, you get really bizarre stuff that's different between every device you own. And you also get stuff that doesn't really have a way for you to report how weird it is. To say, like, do you guys understand, like, how odd the thing that you're recommending to me right now is? Just out of curiosity, because you don't seem to be on the same page that I am on with this.
Do you ever get the like feeling or just like the thought in your head of like, how many people really work at Apple? And what are they doing over there? Like, I know they make devices and each year they got to come out with a new device and there's a lot of pressure there, but how many people could really be on that project at a given time? At a certain point, you can only cut up a project into so many pieces before like the project teams have all the people they need. But according to this website I'm looking at right now, in 2018, Apple had 132,000 people in their employment. And sometimes it just feels like there's nobody home. Like, there's nobody that works there doing anything. You ever get that feeling?
Yeah, yeah. Like, if you open your phone...
Are they making a concerted effort to be very conservative about their changes year to year so they don't screw anything up and give everyone a U2 album that they hate?
No, I think they just try to, like, hit what they demoed on stage, and then they just silently toil away on whatever it is for next year, and then nobody revisits the fact that maybe this demoed better than it functions. But
I think somebody needs to send the Bobs into Apple and ask everyone what they do there. What is it your job here, and what do you do day to day? Like, walk us through it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think everyone's working very hard, Dan. I just think that maybe...
Are you sure they're all working very hard? Are you sure about that?
I am. I just think
32,000 people, Joe.
I think it's a management issue. I don't think it's a people not working issue.
You think there are a lot of people coming up with really cool ideas of, like, look at this way that I created this super personalized recommendation engine for Apple Music, and we could implement it this way and it'd be super awesome, and they take it up the chain and they go, we're kind of out of bullet points on this slide for next developer conference, so maybe save it for next year.
No, that's not.
Well, I don't break it down for me. Where's the disconnect? Where's it happen?
Well, I think that people just are moved from fire to fire to put out the fire, whatever the urgent thing is that they need engineers on, and they don't have the ability to actually have somebody sit there working on perfecting any of this stuff that they're releasing every year.
You're saying people don't have the time to sit there and sort of like let the concept of the product wash over them in a way that they would sort of have,
no, that's
have
not
an
what I'm saying.
Intuitive
I'm saying
feeling one, about what would improve and what wouldn't.
I'm saying once you ship something, then like how does it work? Like, what is the feedback you're receiving on this thing? Like, that step seems to be missing.
Right, have to go through reviews and try it, like figure out, all right, how does this work? Does it work good? Is there a way to improve it? That sort of stuff. Like, there's got to be more than just like, all right, we banged out some code and it has stopped crashing. Ship it, and then I'm gonna go work on a different product.
Well, it never stops crashing when they ship the stuff, but but it's a management issue. Like, it's saying like, this is where we're going to put our resources and we're going to get this thing right. Like, that is the bosses putting people on things.
What are they putting the people on that they're getting right? Or is it just that nothing is right, so they're just shuffling people all around?
Yes.
In a haze.
The second thing you said.
So it's like that scene in The Social Network where everyone's doing shots while they're trying to hack the Python server. That's what Apple's like all the time.
That's not what I said.
it's just a level of chaos. Like, here's the thing, do it, go as fast as you can, and then you're done.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's chaotic to move people from task to task to be like, hey, this iOS thing needs 20 engineers on it. Let's ship them all over from the other tasks that they're working on. Like, that never gets, whatever they were working on, it doesn't get followed up on or finished. Like, Aperture suffered from that for a long time because they would ship a version of Aperture, realize it was buggy and crashy, and like corrupted the libraries of the previous versions of people's works, and then they would release a bug fix, the 0.1 fix for Aperture, and then they would all disappear because they'd be tasked to other things, and then Aperture would sit idle for years, and then they'd have people come back and like do a point release that put some more stuff in. Like, there's a lack of resources, and it's a management issue for where they're putting the resources. Mm. But like, another specific example of something is the other year they added the For You tab in Photos on iOS. And if you are on your Mac, you can go to memories and you'll see some of this, but you're not going to see all of this because it doesn't show you the same thing. It doesn't have anything that's like the For You tab in the Mac version. So in the For You tab, from the top, you get memories, then you get featured photos, and featured photos is just random stuff that this computer has selected from your library.
Here is a I scroll down to my featured photos. It is a single photo from 2011, which is not when this photo took place, of me playing lacrosse in college. There is a single photo for no reason whatsoever. Why?
You swipe to the side. Do you not have any other?
No, I do, but like, why is this photo featured? There's nothing significant about it whatsoever.
There's no explanation for any of these things. It's just like a random photo.
Here's me in Ross, the home goods store, holding up a sign that says, "Don't ruffle my feathers," with the turkey on it. And I'm making a very sort of taciturn face while wearing my red digital media hat.
Yeah, well, because of...
Here's a PNG of Austin Clark's face with an alpha cutout.
Yeah, well, because of my tendency to roughly Photoshop some stuff in Pixelmator on my iPhone, I have a lot of random stuff that I've downloaded to my phone over the years, and several of those things are in the featured photos. So I have a whale breaching the water, which I did not shoot. It wasn't shot on this phone. It has nothing to do with this phone. It was an image I had downloaded, but it's a featured photo.
Here's one featured photo that should be featured. It is a photo of Rye Amidon standing outside of hashtag Where You Bean Coffee Shop. April 10th, 2016.
And I have Casey Liss's avatar in here because I photoshopped his head onto so many things. I have a bagel that I took a photo of from like 2 years ago. It's just like, this is a Christmas tree. Like there's no rhyme or reason to anything that's selected there. There's no explanation for how these things relate.
That's what it is.
The machine should learn. And then under that you have sharing suggestions, and it's just like, do you want to share either of these two images with Jason? And it's like,
saying,
yeah, of course,
your featured photos are above your sharing suggestions?
Yes.
Mine goes shared album activity, sharing suggestions, memories, featured photos, effect suggestions.
See, this is interesting because mine goes memories, featured photos, sharing suggestions, effect suggestions, shared album activity.
See, ours goes dun 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 dun. It's that extra ding.
What? Why are these different?
I don't know. It's custom tailored to the thing you use most often, because I don't look at featured photos and I do share things more often, so maybe that's why. I'm sure there's a reason, but it's one of those things where it's like, oh, we're going to put the most commonly used iCloud features at the top, but it's like, I put my things in a place, leave my things where I put them because I know where I put them, and now you're just shuffling stuff around and I don't care anymore.
But that's why I don't understand the For You tab. It's like, if it's just going to be random, then what is it doing for me specifically in any way? Because if you go to effects suggestions, all it does is grab like every portrait mode photo you've ever taken and say, brighten up this photo using studio lighting. That's what it says under each one of them.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
Yeah.
That's the only recommendation that it has. It's like, that's not an effects suggestion. That is a single suggestion.
God, I wish there was a better way to make looped or bouncing live photos into GIFs. Like, I know there are apps, but they're all still terrible and they don't work very well. But I have so many live photos that would be great for like looped GIF animations or something, and they just don't play well with other apps.
No. Well, I mean,
I love live photos.
I don't love live photos, but, you know, to each their own.
Use them all the time, mostly just to like adjust the frame or whatever, because people blink or a dog moves its head or something.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Apple apps, I got the new Maps update for Los Angeles, which rolled out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Which was weird because starting Monday, the map tiles started looking a little funky and different, and some of the labels for things had changed. Even before I had upgraded my phone to the point release of iOS that was out.
Oh, there was a point release that did the thing?
Yeah, once you download the point release, then you get a push notification that you have the new maps. It's like, okay, great. But for some reason, there was some of the stuff that seemed to have leaked into the prior version. But anyway, They basically just made it prettier. And there are a couple of refinements, like when you exit the 405 at the Pico Olympic exit, which dumps you onto Sawtel, there's three lanes. There's one that goes left, one that goes left, straight, or right, and then one that goes right. And for a very long time, they had incorrect map data that was left, straight, or right, or right. So it would always tell you to get to the leftmost lane, which was incorrect. And I had filed a bug for that three times, and they had no response on that one. But they introduced a new bug, which is that that Ventura Boulevard now has a big US 101 shield icon over it, even though it's not in any way US 101. It is if you look it up on Wikipedia, Ventura Boulevard is business US 101. It is not in any way a freeway. If you try to go on freeway speeds, I would love to see that, because it is just littered with stopped traffic and traffic lights. But not to say that the 101 is not also littered with stopped cars, but it doesn't have any traffic lights. It's so strange because they're like just nearly at each other. And if you go to anything that's on Ventura Boulevard, it'll be like a big image of 101 on there, and it'll be like, you know, make a right onto 101, and it's like, but that's not what that is. Like, it's Ventura Boulevard.
I'm sure there are many instances in history where people had some form of new technology, and they began to get slightly jaded with it or frustrated by the fact that it wasn't progressing, and then eventually some new innovation kicked it into high gear and changed it for the better. But I'm feeling a lot of, it's not just like Apple Photos or Apple Music is stupid. Like, a lot of this stuff really should be a lot smarter than it is. Like, since I've gotten a bunch of goofy smart light switchy things and other, you know, stuff hooked up, I find myself getting annoyed that I have to like shout into the darkness and wait 3 seconds for my dot to turn on lights as I'm walking into rooms. Like, I just want my presence to be sensed by technology and have those lights turn on and stuff. And it's like, that should be doable, right? Like, I don't want to like wear like an RFID pin around my house, like some sort of nerd or something, or do some sort of like near field Bluetooth thing, so I always have to have my phone or watch on. I just want to like walk into a room. Oh, mm-hmm. Are you navigating yourself somewhere?
No, there's no way to see the, I'm sorry.
I was also going to ask you about that too, because you use GPS a lot for going places where you've probably been before. Is that a thing you just do because you think the GPS is going to give you a shorter route, or are you just going to a lot of new places all the time?
Oh, no, I use it for traffic estimates.
Mm. But is that useful?
Yes. I'll give you an example. If I am leaving from my apartment in the morning and driving to my office in the valley, then there are several routes that I can take. And let's say there's an enormous car accident on the 405. It is a good thing to know that, because then I can take a canyon road, which is exhilarating. But
feel like you're a rally racer.
Not really. Usually you're just behind a garbage truck that's very slowly going uphill.
That smells nice.
It has nothing. You just turn off the. You just do the in-car circulation thing. It's just so slow. But anyway, like that is how you can get some information on that. And because there are so many random road closures and accidents that happen in Los Angeles, because there are a lot of cars, traffic information is good, even if you're only going like 16 miles.
I guess I've just never lived in a place where the traffic density is sufficient to create traffic data that would be useful enough to save you more than like 60 seconds or something.
Oh, no. Well, this lets you know if there's already an accident before you get started. If there is an accident that occurs while you're en route, then you're just screwed, because Apple Maps will helpfully notify you that there is an accident like an hour after it's occurred. This morning I was driving from my dentist's office up the 405 to go to my office. There was no other route to take, and there was an accident, but there was no accident marked on the map. It was just slow traffic. And sure enough, you drive past the police car who pulled somebody over on the shoulder of the road who had been into an accident because, of course, people can't see each other when they're merging cars. The other car becomes invisible. It's one of the magic powers of car merging. And so that had occurred, and everybody was going super slow to get around that. But there's no mention of that on maps because it had only happened recently. Recently enough, a cop car was there, but not recently enough for Apple to know. Which is theoretically supposed to be one of the benefits of the new system, is that you're going to have more up-to-date traffic pattern information.
Right, there's supposed to be a lot of anonymized data being shared to the cloud so everyone can analyze traffic patterns and see stuff happening in real time.
But the fun thing is it's not actually in real time because it's obscuring the start and end point of your journey. So it uploads it after your journey has been complete, and it strips out the start and end points.
Oh, that's very helpful.
Yes. So that's why I'm saying it doesn't help you if the accident is just occurring, because there is no, like, to-the-second information you're going to get.
Well, that's what the Waze is supposed to be for, right? You tap the button that says there's an accident here.
Yes. And Waze has the best traffic reporting for that stuff. It just has horrible routing advice. It'll be like, please take these 37 side streets and then make a left turn across all 7 lanes of Wilshire Boulevard. And it's like, I'm not doing any of those things. And sometimes it'll even tell you to make a left turn where it is not legal to do so. Just because somebody probably did make a left turn there because it wasn't legal and they just decided to do it anyway, as so often happens. But because Apple is not using that stuff, they used to use Waze data. I don't even know if they are using it in this new system. But they never actually got the traffic accident information when Waze had it. It was always a significant delay afterwards. So I assumed that they were getting traffic from somewhere other source. And you have no way of reporting it if you see an accident occur, or if there's an obstruction on the road or something, like there's a blown out tire that's, you know, blocking a lane or something. You can't report a road hazard. But anyway,
why can't things be more smart?
I don't know, Dan. I don't know.
It's a simple problem with a simple answer. We're just asking the question over here.
Yeah.
We should we should go get a bunch of venture money and make our own.
Yeah. Also, like a longstanding bug that I hate is that my parking space for my apartment is in an alley behind the building, which is pretty common in certain parts of Los Angeles. And the address, of course, is actually on the road. That's not the alley. And so if I request directions home, it always wants me to go and park on the street in front of my house.
Oh, yeah, Apple Maps is really bad at the whole rerouting. Take a U-turn. You passed it. Like, no, shut up. I know where I'm going. I'm within 50 yards of my destination. Just stop talking.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the things I wanted to figure out is now they have they've mapped out all of the stores inside of the Sherman Oaks Galleria Mall.
Yeah, they did that here too.
Yeah, which is better than not doing that. So you can actually see them in relation to the other stores and figure out where it is inside the mall instead of it all just being like on one big blobby dot. What I had hoped to do was to get a list of directions to get there to see if it actually just directs you
to the store,
parking lot, or if it directs you to the store. Yeah,
the side of the building where that store is.
Yeah.
Yeah, the closest thing I found to a useful workflow for the Apple Maps being completely stupid when you get to your destination is to just do the quick force touch and end on my watch to shut it up, because there's no other easy way to tell it to stop.
Oh, no, you just hold down on the voice thing and you say stop navigation.
Mm. It's fine for your fancy pants people with your CarPlays. I want a CarPlay in my car now.
Yeah, well, did you enjoy it in Amanda's car?
It's very nice. I like the CarPlay.
Mm-hmm. Jason still hasn't bought a Lightning to USB cable for his new car that has CarPlay, so he hasn't been using it, and so I'm just baffled by that. He's like, I believe in the car navigation system anyways. Like, Apple Maps is stupid, and I'm like, okay, well, I mean, it is, but it's like differently stupid. Like the navigation systems that come bundled with your car are just awful. And
yeah, but like it integrates nicely when you're listening to your music. It'll like, you know, duck the audio a little bit, and it'll put a little thing at the top of the screen, and it'll just give you a quick little, hey, you should go over here now.
Oh, most modern car systems will do that too. One of the nice things about CarPlay is if you're listening to Overcast, though, it'll pause instead of just ducking the audio.
Yeah. Oh my god. My favorite thing is when you have a bunch of rapid directions, like coming up now, move in this lane, get ready to take the exit, turn left, like right in a row, where your podcast app will back up like 2 seconds every time, where you'll listen to the same like half a sentence like four times in a row. It's like, oh my god, this is infuriating.
It was a little torturous. But I had an interesting thing happen. They still haven't fixed the thing where if you start from a destination where you have a Wi-Fi connection, it doesn't assume that you're going to lose that Wi-Fi connection as you drive away from the property. So it will try to hold on to the Wi-Fi connection for quite a while. And thus it makes CarPlay unusable if you're in the sort of Wi-Fi purgatory around your source starting point.
Yeah, doesn't it seem like every year they release a new version of iOS, they tout how much smarter it is between switching between Wi-Fi and cellular for poor connectivity situations like that, but it never gets any smarter.
No, it never does.
It's always terrible.
And so I was pulling away yesterday, and I had asked for directions to a location, and it took a couple seconds. So I've already started making a right turn on one street, and then I was going to make a left turn on the next street because I know the route that I'm going. I just want the traffic information. And it wasn't until I had come to a full and complete stop to make the left turn that it's like, in 25 feet, make a right turn onto the street that I was already on, and then make a left turn onto this street. And it was just like, but you're like literally saying something that's already like passed. It is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. But it was just because it had lagged, because it hadn't downloaded the directions by the time it needed to say them.
It's like, remember when they got all excited about when you use Siri to start a timer? It's like, oh, and it knows from when you start talking, so it won't, you know, if it takes a little while for Siri to parse it, or if your device is slow, you know, your timer won't be lagging by like 15 seconds. But It starts when it recognizes the words, but it doesn't start from when my watch is saying, I'll tap you when I'm ready, and sits there for 15 seconds. So it's like, great. So my timer is actually 10 and a half minutes and not just 10 minutes.
Yeah. It's very unreliable.
Technology is very bad.
Yeah. But my favorite is when you're driving and you're on full blown LTE and you have reception and you issue a query for something, and then it just doesn't do it, and then you're just like, okay, let me just repeat the entire thing that I just said. Irritating. It's very irritating, Dan.
Yeah, they should go back to not allowing third-party apps, so they can fix all of these integration errors.
Also, it's pretty fun. They fixed some stability issues with CarPlay that were around for a couple months, where you would plug it in and then your device would not connect over CarPlay, even though it was showing a connection for charging purposes, and the screen would say no device connected. But they fixed that for a couple months, and then it broke again with this recent update, because the two out of the three times that I've used the Maps feature since yesterday, I've plugged it in and it's been no device connected, but showing a connection. And my favorite part was today, somehow it played audio over the connection, even though it said no device connected. So that was fun, because it should not have been able to do that, because even if it was on Bluetooth, that's a different audio mode on the car.
Yeah.
So it just, for whatever reason, it's being flaky again. So thanks for 12 point whatever point blah blah blah, but
you just need to upgrade your head unit and get wireless CarPlay.
Oh, I want that so bad.
I saw a review in The Verge or something today about a wireless head unit from Pioneer or whatever. It's only like $900. Just stupid. Yeah. I would still buy a sub $300 wired one.
Yeah. Well, but here's the thing, though. It is one of the things that I thought when I was getting this is because the only car manufacturer that has the wireless CarPlay that I know of is BMW. I'm sure that's going to roll out to other car manufacturers, but most of them are wired, as far as I know, including my Honda. And I was like, oh, well, it's not going to be that annoying to plug in something every single time, but it is incredibly annoying because you have to fish this thing out of your pocket and then you have to line up the tiny little metal contacts of the lightning thing and then you put it down. And because you need to do that before you start the car, you're sitting in a hot car.
You don't have to do it before you start the car.
Well, but otherwise then you start the car and then you don't have it plugged in and you're getting beeped at for your seatbelt or whatever. There is just... I would like to be able to do all of this stuff faster to get going, yeah. Is what I'm saying.
Well, can I ask you some very specific questions about your CarPlay workflow here?
Go ahead, caller. Okay. Welcome to Car Talk.
Welcome to Honda Talk. So when you plug your phone in and you got your lightning cable hooked through that little hook there so it doesn't like fall down behind the dash or whatever, how do you set your phone down, horizontally or, I guess, vertically?
When I first got it, I was setting it down very carefully horizontally inside mm-hmm. the space so that it would not touch the shifter. And then quickly after that, it was just whatever haphazard way it just kind of sat in there. And then sometimes I'll even put the thing into park and then the shifter is all the way at the top of the thing and it will hit the iPhone. But it doesn't matter. There's room. It's fine.
Well, I ask because I have a larger phone than you, and Amanda has a plus size phone in a case. And if you turn them sideways to try and put them like in the little cubby up there, it is bending the lightning cable right at the base of it at like a full 90-degree angle, like real, real hard. So that cable's going to die real soon, and it's very awkward. I don't think you can even put it like completely horizontal. It's got to be a little bit of an angle before the lightning cable even like is capable of letting it lay flat on the thing. It's very kind of awkward.
Oh, that's no good. Well, I mean, a temporary solution is you can plug it in and then just leave it in the below cubby.
The below cubby, yeah.
Yeah, the one that's in the back that you can't easily reach.
Mm-hmm.
I like to put my sunglasses.
I like to put... no, I didn't say anything! Oh my God, three times. Alexa, stop! I like to put my tiny little wallet in that little... like, because in the side cubby where it like connects there's like an extra little... indent or whatever where you can stick like your key or something down there.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. I like to put my wallet down there.
Oh, it's exciting.
Yeah. I like newer cars. I want a car.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just, you know me, I like my practical cars. I'm a mm-hmm. very practical person.
My car has power windows mm-hmm. and radio. I guess it has a CD player, but I jammed a Bluetooth dingus in the back of it so my phone connects over Bluetooth, but it's not real.
Well, I mean, that's better than nothing. My car prior to this was the 2002 Honda Accord, which had no auxiliary port, just a 6-disc CD changer, and it had power windows, but it had automatic down with one tap, but not automatic up.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to hold on it while you were putting the thing up.
I feel like that was a safety thing for a while because the automatic up could catch a child's head in it. But now it seems like car manufacturers are like, yeah, whatever, it's fine.
Well, I'm sure that there's something with like a pressure sensor or something. I have no idea. But I don't have a safety concern. It was just nice to be able to have it. It was annoying for a while because Jason had a Lexus that had the auto up and down thing that was much newer than mine. So he'd be in the car with me and he would just be like, why don't you roll up your window instead of driving through this parking garage where we're just smelling fumes? And it's like, but I have to literally hold on this thing to have the thing raise.
Oh,
and I'm trying
no.
to like make a right turn to go around to the ramp we need to go up. So like, what do you want me to do? You want me to sit here with the gate, parking gate thing up and then put that up and then the parking gate can lower? Or do you want me to drive in? But... You know, nobody argues about anything.
You can drive with one hand. Come on, it'd be fine.
Well, not to make the... Anyway, it's a stupid parking garage. But...
Technology. I am going to kind of miss the Bluetooth tape cassette adapter in Amanda's old car.
I don't. It made a weird clicky worry sound.
Oh, it was great though. You pop the tape in, and then Bluetooth connects to your phone. It's great. No wires.
I never ended up buying one of those.
Oh yeah, I can send you mine. Coming real handy.
Is that not super handy? No. Yeah, no, nine yet. Mm. But yeah. Speaking of driving, we should probably hit the road. Drive on out of here into sunset.
Sunset like 6 hours ago.
Okay, well, this podcast is obviously timeless. So I don't really appreciate you trying to put a label on it.
We'll label it done.